One other party is in this conference.
Well, I must say this is a poor showing from me. Yes, Saturday at least I had the excuse that I was at an event and dealing with people. But today, why was I not on time? Well, I neglected to set my alarm, believe it or not. I must have been very fatigued, considering that it's a fairly late hour here. But that's where we are at. Anyway, I want to mention that my plan, at least, is to very soon go back to the standard, something resembling a standard schedule, I think what I'm going to wind up doing. Because I do have a lot more of this material of nuclear energy conference proceedings and so forth that I would like to get into a read-out form, and this is a real easy way of doing that. But I may wind up doing one pre-recorded, edited, Hear Now the Word show a week, and one live call-in for some time. But that's just a thing to think about. If I can get back up to doing two pre-recorded shows, that'll be great. Let's see. Also, I'm going to be on the actual FM radio in upstate New York again on November 4th. Well, it's November 4th local time in the evening, and I'm not actually sure off the top of my head if that's going to be, you know, 23 hours UTC on November 4th or zero November 5th. Have to work that out. Anyway. But I'm going to finish reading now the statement by Mike McCormick that I sort of didn't finish last time. This is, again, out of Nuclear Power Option for the World, the proceedings of the Combined European Nuclear Conference 1979 and 7th Thoratom Congress. We must also keep the need for nuclear power clearly in perspective. For instance, we must have more electric generation capacity for the children who are already alive. They will require jobs, homes, and transportation, all of which in turn will require energy. They deserve a chance for a standard of living at least equal to what their parents have known, but they won't have it without substantial amounts of additional electric energy. Those who have been misled into opposing nuclear plants should be honest enough to describe the consequences of such opposition, admitting to our youth there won't be enough jobs for them, admitting to us that they think we all should have a lower standard of living, and admitting that anti-nuclear activists don't care if our senior citizens must be cold when they are old. Those opposing nuclear energy are saying that the free world should be made dangerously weak. I am reassured by the fact that a few days ago, the U.S. House of Representatives Committee on Science and Technology rejected by a 60% majority another attempt to kill the Clinch River Breeder Reactor project, in spite of the emotionalism associated with the Three Mile Island accident and the intense lobbying by the administration. On a subsequent vote, an anti-nuclear amendment was defeated by more than a 75% majority. The editorial boards of most newspapers have taken responsible positions, and the people of the U.S., although many are somewhat confused on the subject, continue their support for nuclear energy. It is almost impossible to exaggerate the importance of developing rational, comprehensive energy production policies and programs for the nations of the free world. Nor can the importance of nuclear energy be exaggerated when considering all viable energy sources. However, there is much to do, and it is my sincere hope that nuclear scientists from all nations will take the initiative to work with public officials so that constructive policies will be formulated and followed by all countries. We must provide storage for our spent fuel and an aggressive program to establish international proliferation-resistant nuclear fuel reprocessing centers. We must demonstrate that the technology for the permanent safe storage of high-level nuclear wastes does exist, a simple, inexpensive process that will remove all high-level wastes permanently from the biosphere and do so with no threat at all to the environment or the public health in the area of the storage facility or elsewhere, ever. We must proceed with our thermal reactor and breeder programs in the knowledge that only nuclear fission offers the nations of the free world a chance at energy independence during the coming decades. We must, of course, move forward with our nuclear fusion research program, planning to have our first demonstration plant on the line by about the year 2000. We can do all these things, starting at once, and nothing would make the free world stronger. It is instructive to note that the countries with centrally planned economies are pursuing these very programs, but the people must understand that there is no quick fix, no magic solution to our energy problems. Those who follow the dreamers, hoping and waiting for a magic solution, will drift more deeply with each passing month into the energy economy crisis. So above all else, we must act now, and act rationally. I have previously stated that in the struggle to overcome the energy problems that face the U.S., the primary obstacles are ignorance, fear, prejudice, and emotionalism. This is, I believe, also true for the free world. However, the solutions to our energy problems do lie before us, and free people are anxious to follow courageous and responsible leadership. We can do our part by supporting realistic policies as they are proposed, but offering constructive criticism where necessary and insisting that all policies be based on the best available scientific, engineering, and economic facts. If we do, then the free world may yet establish realistic energy policies and programs to conserve energy wherever practical, to protect our environment and the health of the people, and to produce the energy required to keep all of us strong, healthy, and free. Thank you. So, yeah, going to have to go back and trim this archive to just have the good bits and not a long string of blank air. Yesterday received the 15-volume set of the proceedings of the 1974 Geneva Conference on the Peaceful Uses of Atomic Energy, which will be also another thing to read out of. Now, stuff that I may be reading in the future out of this volume, there's Report on the Harrisburg Event by Milton Levinson of the Electric Power Research Institute, which is a, you know, brief but usefully descriptive report on Three Mile Island. Nuclear Safety and the Environment, A British View by N.K. Franklin of Risley Nuclear Power Corporation in Risley, United Kingdom. The paper immediately after that is The Back End of the Fuel Cycle, an Example of the Nuclear Safety Philosophy. That's from a German perspective. Might be worth reading. Now, there's a good paper here called The Various Facets of the Nuclear Controversy, but I question whether it's I question reading, well, I don't know. It's got some graphs and things which I can't exactly read. Let's see, The Wind Scale Inquiry's Contribution to Public Understanding. Nuclear Energy, Public Opinion and Political Evolution in Sweden, again, has a lot of charts, but the text is excellent. Nuclear Power in the Swiss Democracy. Now, that's all text, and that might be worthwhile to read. Let's see. already, I believe, read the contribution called Energy and Jobs from Klaus Barthelt of KWU. Let's see. Okay, so there's a fairly short one, Civil Arrangements for the International Arrangements for the Future of Civil Nuclear Power by Karl Volsky of the Atomic Industrial Forum. Yes, there is. Those are the closing remarks. I think I've already covered those closing remarks. So yes, I think there's a very good likelihood that in this time slot on Friday, we will have a selection from The Castle of Otranto by Walpole. That's a fairly high likelihood, at least. And I say that rather than A Journey in Other Worlds because I think I have a chapter of Castle of Otranto about half edited. Those chapters, being more than half an hour long, are kind of, I don't know if I should say backbreaking to edit, but that's the way it feels. You know, if I've got a chapters that are 5 or 10 minutes long, I can do one and then be finished with it and then pick up a second one afterwards. But when it comes to these, you know, 40-minute long chapters, you know, considering it takes several times as long to edit a chapter as its actual running time, it really does become grueling, for want of a better word. Anyway, always remember, you can send your cards and letters to Post Office Box 1035, Fort Worth, Texas, 76101, United States of America, and I'll look forward to reading them over the air.